ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 21 The introduction and then up till text 6 has the first purport. The dynasty of Bharat. This 21st chapter describes the dynasty born from Maharsh Bharat, the son of Maharsh Dushmanta, and it also describes the glories of Rantidev, Ajamida, and others. The son of Bharadwaja was Manu, and Manu's sons were Brihatkshatra, Jaya, Mahavirya, Nara, and Garga. Of these five, Nara had a son named Sankriti, who had two sons named Guru and Rantidev. As an exalted devotee, Rantidev saw every living entity in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he completely engaged his mind, his words, and his very self in the service of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Rantidev was so exalted that he would sometimes give away his own food in charity, and he and his family would fast. Once, after Rantidev spent 48 days fasting, not even drinking water, excellent food made with ghee was brought to him, but when he was about to eat it, a Brahmin guest appeared. Rantidev therefore did not eat the food, but instead immediately offered a portion of it to the Brahmin. When the Brahmin left and Rantidev was just about to eat the remnants of the food, a Sudra appeared. Rantidev therefore divided the remnants between the Sudra and himself. Again, when he was just about to eat the remnants of the food, another guest appeared. Rantidev therefore gave the rest of the food to the new guest and was about to content himself with drinking the water to quench his thirst. But this was also precluded, for a thirsty guest came, and Rantidev gave him the water. This was all ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to glorify his devotee and show how tolerant a devotee is in rendering service to the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being extremely pleased with Rantidev, entrusted him with very confidential service. The special power to render the most confidential service is entrusted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to a pure devotee, not to ordinary devotees. Garga, the son of Bharadwaja, had a son named Shini, and Shini's son was Gargya. Although Gargya was a Kshatriya by birth, his sons became Brahmins. The son of Mahavira was Duritakshaya, whose sons were Trayaruni, Kavi, and Puskararuni. Although these three sons were born of a Kshatriya king, they also achieved the position of Brahmanas. The son of Brihatkshatra constructed the city of Hastinapur and was known as Hasti. His sons were Ajamida, Dvimida, and Purumida. From Ajamida came Priyameda and other Brahmins, and also a son named Brihadishu. The sons, grandsons, and further descendants of Brihadishu were Brihadanu, Brihatkaya, and Jayadratha, Vishada, and Senajit. From Senajit came four sons, Ruchirashva, Dridahanu, Kasya, and Vatsa. From Ruchirashva came a son named Para, whose sons were Pritusena and Nipa. And from Nipa came 100 sons. Another son of Nipa was Brahmadatta. From Brahmadatta came Vishvaksena. From Vishvaksena, Udakshena. And from Udakshena, Balata. The son of Dvimita was Yavinara. And from Yavinara came many sons and grandsons, such as Kritiman, Satyadriti, Dhritanemi, Suparshva, Sumati, Sanatiman, Kriti, Nipa, Udgrayuda, Kshema, Suvirya, Ripunjaya, and Bahurata. Purimita had no sons, but Ajamita, in addition to his other sons, had a son named Nila, whose son was Shanti. The descendants of Shanti were Shushanti, Puruja Arka, and Barmyashva. Barmyashva had five sons, of whom Mudgala begot a dynasty of Brahmins. Mudgala had twin sons, a son Devodas, and a daughter Ahalya. From Ahalya, by her husband Gautama, Satananda was born. The son of Satananda was Satyadriti, and his son was Saradvan. Saradvan's son was known as Kripa, and Saradvan's daughter, known as Kripi, became the wife of Drona Acharya. That's a lot of kids. Now we'll read the first six verses. Text 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, because Bharadwaja was delivered by the Marut demigods, and he was known as Vitata, the son of Vitata was Manu, and from Manu came five sons, Prihachakra Jaya, Mahavirya, Nara, and Garga. Of these five, the one known as Nara had a son named Sankriti. Text 2. Umaraj Pariket, descendant of Pandu, Sankriti had two sons named Guru and Rantidev. Rantidev is famous in both this world and the next, for he is glorified not only in human society, but also in the society of demigods. Text 3 to 5. Rantidev never endeavored to earn anything. He would enjoy whatever he got by the arrangement of providence, but when guests came, he would give them everything. Thus he underwent considerable suffering along with the members of his family. Indeed, he and his family members shivered for want of food and water. Yet Rantidev always remained sober. Once, after fasting for 48 days in the morning, Rantidev received some water and some foodstuff made with milk and ghee. But when he and his family were about to eat, a Brahmin guest arrived. Text 6. Tasmai samvyabhajat sonam adritya shradyan vita harim sarvatra sampasyam sabhuktva prayayau dvijaha samai samvyabhajat sonam Adritya Shradayan Vitaha Harim Sarvatra Sampasyam Sabuktva Prayayau Dvijaha Tasmai Sam Vyabhajat Sonam Adritya Shradayan Vitaha Aryam sarvatra sampasyan sabhuktva prayayo dvijaha Mataji's. tasmai samyavajat sonam aditya shadiyan vita imsarvatya sampasyan tasmai unto him, the Brahman, samyavajat, after dividing, gave his share. Saha, he, Ranti Dev, anam, the food, adritya, with great respect, shraya anvitaha, and with faith, harim, the Supreme Lord, sarvatra, everywhere, or in the heart of every living being, sampasyan, conceiving, saha, he, bhuktva, after eating the food, prayayau, left that place. Dvijaha, the Brahman. Translation. Because Ranti Dev perceived the presence of the Supreme Lord everywhere and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahmin guest ate his share and then went away. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Ranti Dev perceived the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living being, but he never thought that because the Supreme Lord is present in every living being must be God. Nor did he distinguish between one living being and another. He perceived the presence of the Lord both in the Brahman and in the Chandala. This is the true vision of equality as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Vidyavinaya sampane brahmane gavihastani suni chayva svapakecha pandita samadarshinaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. A pundit, or learned person, perceives the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living being. Therefore, although it has now become fashionable to give preference to the so-called Daridra Narayan or poor Narayan, Ranti Dev had no reason to give preference to any one person. The idea that because Narayan is present in the heart of one who is Daridra or poor, the poor man should be called Daridra Narayan is a wrong conception. By such logic, because the Lord is present within the hearts of the dogs and hogs would also be Narayan. One should not mistakenly think that Ranti Dev subscribed to this view. Rather, he saw everyone as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha. It is not that everyone is the Supreme Godhead. Such a theory, which is propounded by the Mayavadi philosophy, is always misleading, and Ranti Dev would never have accepted it. Tasmai samvyabhajat sonam adritya shradyan vitaha harim sarvatra sampasyan sabhuktva prayayau jvijaha. Because Ranti Dev perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahmin guest ate his share and then went away. Om Ajnana Tamirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to his lotus feet. So herein, Ranti Dev is glorified. Such a great devotee underwent so much pain and discomfiture for the benefit of others. This is actually stated in Srimad Bhagavatam to be the quality of the devotee. That the devotee undergoes severe pain and austerity only so others can benefit. He was benefiting others by giving prasadam. We are giving under the order of our spiritual master this Krishna consciousness movement, and sometimes there's great pain and austerity. Even living in the brahmachari brahmacharini ashram is very austere. Of course, because we are engaged in the service of the Lord, we don't even feel the austerity, but we feel it very blissful and very peaceful. But for the materialistic persons, there was actually a story, true story, in Chicago in the early 70s, I believe it was the Evanston Police Department, sent in some undercover agents to try and find, it was here? No, it happened here also, in Evanston, Illinois. You know, Savas? And they were to live in the ashram and find out what the Hare Krishnas were doing. I don't even think they made it through the night. They stayed one day and they confessed to the president. They went into Govinda, Sri Govinda's office and confessed, "You guys are the real deal. You know, we tried to do your program, your chanting, your austere diet of khichdi and whatever they had there for 6 chickpeas on wax paper and sleeping in Evanston in the swimming pool in the deep end. They had one swimming. It was a YMCA building. So those that were, I can't remember, was the senior devotees, or I think the senior devotees were in the deep end and the younger devotees were in the shallow, or vice versa. Of course, the pool was empty. But that's where we stayed. And the temple president made sure he hacked off the hot water, what do you call, dial, so that the only thing available was cold water in Chicago in the middle of winter. So automatically you would wake up when the first devotee took a shower. You didn't need an alarm clock because you heard the screams of joy when the devotee, first devotee who took a shower, 2:30, 2:45, would go in the cold shower when it was 20 degrees outside and the water was probably 5 degrees, and the water would touch the skin, and devotees being young and new would scream in some kind of ecstasy. Of course, by the second, third, when everyone would start getting up, there would be in unison screams of joy when everyone would wake up. So these policemen went and they said, "We're going to go back and report. You're the real deal. You are austere and got nothing and just are interested in worshiping God. We actually believe it because we've experienced it. There's no sense gratification here. On the opposite, in the opposite, it's actually extremely austere, too austere, and we're cops. We're supposed to undergo all kinds of difficulties, but we can't do this." They admitted, we can't do this for 2 days. Same thing, I think, happened here. And second day, they were like, "Get me out of here." They stayed for a month. CIA. Who is it? Which one? Are you? No, I don't. And they followed? I must not have been here. That was a long time ago. So in this way, devotees undergo great austerities and penances for the benefit of others. In our histories, of course, we hear of Runtidev, who gave away his prasadam, and then another personality came. He gave another half away to the point where he had nothing left, but he thought, well, I'll drink the water. And then someone came, a chandal or someone we just read, and wanted the water. So he had nothing. Similar story in our Srimad Bhagavatam. There was a great king. His name was Ambarish. Ambarish was such a great king. He was a Raja Rishi. He did everything for Krishna. Savaimana Krishna Paravindayo Vaichamsi Vaikunta Kunanu Varnane Karau Harer Mandira Majishu Chakar Chuta Sat Katodaye Kamam Chadasye Natu Kama Kamiya Yutotuma Shloka Janashraya Rati Savaimana Krishna Paravindayo. He used his mind, Savai Manak, for the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Paravindayo. By Chamsi, by Kunta, Kunanu Varnane, he used his bacha, by Chamsi, his speech, for glorifying the Lord of Vaikunta. Shrutim Chakarachuta Satkato. He only heard and spoke the satkata, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. In this way, Maharaj Ambarish was one of the greatest kings, and he used to undergo austerity and penance, so much so that he wouldn't eat or drink for 1 year. I think he did it every year. No, maybe he skipped a few years. If he did it every year, it would be a little difficult. Anyway, he didn't eat or fast or drink for 1 year. Of course, as we know, following Ekadasi, the Dwadasi arrives, and you have so many minutes between this time and this time to break the Ekadasi, and break the fast auspiciously. So the time was arriving for him to break the fast, and one Durvasa Muni came to his palace with all of his disciples. What was it? 10,000. 50,000. 60,000 disciples. Keeps going up. Anyone 70? 60,000. Can you imagine? I was in Vrindavan with Radhanath Swami's disciples came. 15 buses arrived. It was only a few thousand people. It was overwhelming. The next morning to greet the deities, you didn't have to walk from one altar to the other. Literally, devotees shoulder to shoulder were pressed so tight, they lifted you up, and you automatically move to the next altar without moving your feet. Excellent for a person with foot problems. Go to Vrindavan. When all the disciples come, they'll personally move you. It was amazing. So many. That was only 3,000, 2,500. This is 60,000. Durvasa had 60,000 disciples come with him. And he came and said, let me, of course, Maharaj Ambarish offered prasadam and so many things. And he said, wait, let me go bathe with my disciples. They went to bathe. And the time was passing to break the fast. So the Ambarish Maharaj said, went to his ministers, what do I do? The time is passing. I have to break this fast. Otherwise, I lose all the benefits of the fast. So the ministers told him, you drink a little water, because water is fasting and breaking fast. You take a sip of water. So Maharaj Ambarish drank a little water, the saintly king, who utilized everything, his head for bowing to the deity, his leg for walking to the temple of the Lord, his eyes for seeing the deity of the Lord, his ears for hearing the transcendental topics of the Lord. He utilized everything in the service of the Lord, practically. When Durvasa came back and saw that the king had taken some water, he became very angry, as Durvasa was often prone to do, being a yogi. He didn't have the shelter to check his anger of Krishna. And therefore, he took one piece of his hair, threw it on the ground, and created a great fiery demon. Was there a name to that demon? A demon, fiery. He came towards Maharaj Ambarish, and Maharaj Ambarish was not afraid because he was always taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore the Lord sent his Sudarshan disc, which immediately destroyed the fiery demon. And then went after the offender, Durvas. Durvas went everywhere. He went to Shiva Loka, Brahma Loka. Even he went to Vaikuntha somehow or other. And when he saw the Lord and begged him, get this Sudarshan disc away from me, Lord said, Sarunam Ranayamayam, Sarunam Ranayam Maham. Devotees are in my heart, and I'm within their heart. They know nothing but me, and I don't know anything but them. And Durvasa was a little perplexed. What do I do? And Lord told him, only way you can get forgiveness is you go back to Ambarish and take shelter and beg forgiveness from him. And if he removes, if he forgives you, the Sudarshan disc will be removed. Vedic culture is full of this, because naturally in this material world, everyone is envious of another person, of everyone. They had one movie advertised. They called The Purge. It's a new movie about the year 2030, I believe. And in America, the government made it so one day a year, between 7 p.m. at night and 7 in the morning, you could go with a single shotgun or a single gun or a knife or some weapon. It's a TV show, movie. And kill whoever you hate, and you won't be prosecuted. There'll be no reaction. Of course, they have no idea they get reaction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, and the country was very satisfied because everyone could wait to kill their enemy and get revenge once a year, have the three people on the top of their list, and go out and slaughter them and not be put in jail. And society lived very happily, I think, until one of the leaders got. I don't know. I didn't see that. I read something. So this is the nature of the material world. I envy you. You envy me. I criticize you. You criticize me. But Prabhupada said, this is the difference between the material world and the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada said, suppose you're going on an airplane. Prabhupada said train. No, actually Prabhupada said boat to a destination. Everyone on the trip may not be to your liking. Someone's in mode of passion. Someone's mixed mode of goodness and ignorance. Someone's mixed mode of ignorance and passion. Every man may not be to your liking. But you sit down, tolerate an excuse to reach your destination. So similarly, Prabhupada said, in our Krishna consciousness, movement. Every person may not be to our liking. If we were not devotees of Krishna, chances are we would not be BFFs. That stands for best friends forever, if you don't know. Because we come from variegated modes of nature and backgrounds. So many different types of people. I don't think I ever would have met Prem Sankirtan. And if I did, I could never understand a word he said. No offense. So, every man may not be like you, but we tolerate excuse because we have seva to perform. One time, Prabhupada tells this story. Lord Buddha sent his disciple to preach. His disciple's name was Ananda, to preach Buddhism. And Buddha said to him, you know, people will criticize you. What will you do if you get criticized? And Ananda said, I'll bless and thank the people for not physically harming me. Lord Buddha said, okay, what if the people beat you and physically harm you? And Ananda said, well, I will thank them and bless them for not killing me. He said, okay. But what if the people actually kill you, just like Lord Jesus Christ? And his response was, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. And Ananda's response was, if they kill me, I will thank them and bless them because I'll be able to be liberated from this material world. So this is Vaishnav. Maharaj Yudhisthira had same experience. Excuse me, Maharaj Parikit. He went to the home of Samika Rishi. And Samika Rishi was in deep meditation. So much so that when Maharaj Parikit asked for a glass of water, Samika Rishi didn't respond. So Parikit Maharaj, being a little bit disturbed, threw a dead snake as a garland around the neck of Samika Rishi. Samika Rishi? Yeah. Samika Rishi had a son, young son, named Sringhi. And Sringhi got very offended. Samika Rishi came out of his trance. He tolerated the offense. He was a Rishi. But his son cursed Maharaj Parikit that you die within 7 days by a snake bird bite. Snake bite? Snake bird. Bite of a snake bird. Maharaj Parikit accepted the curse. Being a Vaishnav, being a devotee, he accepted and took the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam so that we could get Srimad Bhagavatam and hear all the transcendental. He took it. He sat down and he heard the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami. And this Samika Rishi felt very disturbed that his son had done such a terrible thing, counter curse or curse. So the nature of this material world is like that. I criticize you, you criticize me. But Vaishnav, Shastra teaches us, Srila Prabhupada teaches us, Vaishnav tolerates and excuses. That is called kshama. To tolerate and excuse. Because in this material world, even unknowingly, people commit so many offenses. It rains in Los Angeles, the car goes down the street and splashes the water on you. Great offense. But it was more or less unknowing, hopefully, by the wrongdoer. And for devotee, he tolerates and excuses. Of course, if we see another devotee offended, we become like fire. That's another story against the offender. But for ourselves, we tolerate and excuse. We aren't so puffed up that, who do you think I... Don't you know who I am? I've been in this movement for 142 years. Don't you know all the things I've accomplished? Prabhupada said Hari Bol to me once. Vaishnav means, Prabhupada spoke to everyone. Prabhupada gave instruction to everyone. Prabhupada's giving instruction to the new devotees, to his param disciples. He'll give instructions to his param disciples. Distribute my books. He gives instruction in his purports. He gives instruction everywhere. So one has to be very tolerant and excuse and focus on serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Maharaj Ambarish, like this Runti Dev, who he'll find out later, these personalities that came and took all his food. Someone takes my food. Who took my food? Who took my... Did you steal my pakora? We flip out. Somebody took half my samosa. I'm going to tell Savas. I'm going to call Tadit right now. They took my sweet balls missing. I offered obeisance. That happened in New York. And they told Prabhupada. I think it was Tamal Krishna Goswami was sitting with some other devotees. Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He tells the story. The devotee offered obeisance. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad. While he's offering obeisances, Goswami Maharaj took the sweet ball. I don't know if he ate it while he was offering. He ate it while he was offering obeisances. A whole bunch of sweet balls? Oh, the other devotee. And he went to Prabhupada. The devotee went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada chuckled and said, that is transcendental thievery. Devotees even went, sometimes people are stealing the Bhagavatam from us on Sankirtan, Prabhupada. We show it to them and they run away without paying. And Prabhupada said, that is the perfection of thievery, that they steal the Bhagavatam. So devotee sees in a transcendental way. He doesn't see, she doesn't see in a mundane way. And we undergo great austerity and penance. Eating only Krishna prasadam. On Sunday, we are very austere. We only eat food cooked in ghee twice a day at the maha table and then at the Sunday feast. Great austerity and penance. Living in the ashram, chanting Hare Krishna, rising early in the morning. But for the Vaishnava and the Vaishnavi, these are great joys. This is happiness. We go visit someone and we don't get up early in the morning and we can't even focus our brain. I went to see my sister once in Florida and all kinds of mundane things were going on in the house. And I woke up and it was late already. They were talking. I couldn't even chant my japa alone in solitude and peacefulness. And my mind was completely spaced out. I couldn't focus on anything. So for a devotee, these austerities and penances are our joy in life. All glory Sri Guru and Gauranga. What happened? Did I hit you? See the offense? He threw a garland, he hit him, and then he cursed him. Yeah. Oh, Jai Gopal took it. And Goswami. To get it back. I heard that was... Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, I told that a little bit wrong. The rest of the stories were pretty close.